All right, before we get to a very serious topic, which involves young people, we got a call from Gary. He wanted to check in on the show. Oh, Gary's gone. I'm sorry. Oh, well, Gary's back. Gary's back. We'll get Gary teed up here real quick. What you got, Gary?
Hey, Henry, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Buddy, how you doing?
I got a couple things for you. When you were talking about the people that have had problems with getting sick on the air.
Yeah.
Do you remember Stan Turner?
Stan Turner.
From KSDP?
I do not.
He had a disease that was called Meniere's disease, and he would be doing the news, and he would have to go off the air right away because all of a sudden the Meniere's disease kicked in, and it just made him very, very dizzy.
Oh, wow. Ow.
Hey, I got another thing for you. You know about the Pledge of Hope, about the
National Anthem?
Thing with Canada? Yeah.
Yep.
Here's the deal with it. I believe that they should have showed respect for our country, but even after it was done with, if you'd have said boo Trump, fine, but don't disrespect our national anthem.
Yes, and thank you for the phone call, Gary. I appreciate it. That's the point that I was making to Chris, is that there's no way that you're booing our national anthem, and regardless of where people side politically, that is some sort of, like, respect.
It's disrespectful to all Americans.
Yeah.
They're not meaning it as disrespectful to all Americans.
But it is disrespectful.
But it is disrespectful.
Regardless of how they look at it, it is disrespectful.
If we were to boo because of Trudeau.
If I had an issue with the leader of Canada, I mean, and I was booing their anthem at Target Center or at the X, that's just not respectful. There's other ways to go about and show my displeasure than to do that. But let's move on to the topic I wanted to get into here, this segment. And I wanted to start this segment by saying and wishing Jason Jensen the best. I'm wishing him, his family, the best. If you had not seen the news story, Jason Jensen, who was a lieutenant for the Lakeville Police Department, he's been there 21 years. He was injured, okay? He's in critical condition with a brain injury after a fall during hockey practice several days ago. He is a hockey coach, and he was working with the Holy Family Girls team at a recreation center in Victoria on Friday when a player slipped and fell into him and knocked him to the ice. Okay, he was not wearing a helmet, and it was a hard fall. And I hope and pray that he recovers fully from this incident. But it's a severe situation with it being a brain injury, right? He's 44. He's in law enforcement. He gives of his time to young people. And this accident happened. The reason why I want to bring it up, not just to wish him well and to wish his family well, but to also just kind of highlight a situation in which a young person, something happens, an accident happens, and they internalize it. So Jason's wife, her name is Kelly, she said this to the Minnesota Star Tribune. He was standing at the goalpost talking with his goalie, and another player lost her skate edge and knocked Jensen down. It was a complete accident. It caught him off guard, and he just fell back. I could totally see how that would happen, okay? Now, his wife said that she's been texting with the player who collided with her husband to, quote, let her know it wasn't her fault. All right, so now I bring this up because I just got this feeling like this young lady is super upset with herself, and she's probably fighting it emotionally and mentally that she injured the coach. And our young people internalize things, a lot of things, accidents too. I worked a lot of years with young people in schools. I don't want this young lady to operate and go through life right now feeling like she ruined a coach's life, that she harmed their family, because it was an accident. The wife acknowledges and says it was a complete accident. And so, but it's hard to get that through to the kid, right? Because the kid is like, I can't believe this happened. I'm, you know, and I'm just making up phrases here, but, you know, kids sure, will be yeah. like, oh, I'm the worst. I can't believe I did this. I didn't mean to, but why am I clumsy or whatever it is,
they're
right?
They're blaming themselves
Blaming themselves.
Yeah, and you
hate to see that.
The amount of guilt.
And you can tell that's an issue because the wife is texting the young lady, mm-hmm. letting her know, you're fine, it's okay, it'll be fine.
Yeah, and I can't imagine all of the scenarios that go through your head with something like this. Like, you know, during school, you're thinking about it. At home, you're thinking about it. You know, at practice, like, your entire world, you're consumed with this one innocent, freakish mistake. No matter how much support you can give a child, and I can just talk about it as a parent, and, you know, other parents out there, you know, agree or disagree, and you come at it from an educator standpoint, you can give all of the positive reinforcement to the child and tell them, but ultimately it's up to them to believe it, mm-hmm. and embrace and accept what it is that you're trying to tell them. And sometimes it just takes time.
It's hard, though.
It is very hard.
Especially when you're a young person, like, emotionally, like, because you're not mature.
Yeah, and you're exactly.
You're dealing with a lot of things, and so when
you... And then you add this on top of it.
Yeah, and I think the other element to this, too, is the fact that when he hits his head, and according to the article, he was out cold. Mm. Like, it's not just the fact that there was the accidental collision. It's the aftermath of it. It's like watching, you know, EMTs come.
You're like, you're traumatized.
Yes. Paramedics arriving.
Yeah, you've got everything with the severity of it. And then you start thinking worst case scenario. And then the doubt continues to creep in even more.
Yeah.
And it just... I would hate for this one incident to define this one young lady's life, for her to have this that is going to be the one thing that she feels has to define her, because it doesn't. It absolutely doesn't. And when you've got the wife who's got two young children...
She's trying to be encouraging.
Yeah, she's trying to be encouraging. It's just, it's hard. You can get encouragement from 100 outside sources. But if that confidence doesn't come from within, then all of that just comes off as patronizing and, you know, feeling sorry for you when it sounds like just a really freakish...
Yeah, it was a freakish accident.
It was a freakish accident, and you hear that, and it just... I could not imagine being in that situation and seeing it or...
His wife says he remains at HCMC in critical condition. Kelly, she reported on an online fundraiser on behalf of the family that, quote, Jason is still pretty heavily sedated, but he was able to give the nurse a thumbs up to indicate he could hear. I'm exhausted, but I'm thankful for the time I get to spend with him in the hospital. So... You never know who's listening. We have a massive audience, but I just want to wish Jason Jensen the best, and his family as well. I'm going to keep you in my prayers, man. Accidents happen. It'd be a much different situation if we were talking about, like, a college student was drinking and driving and ran into his car or something like that, whatever. This is just him working with young people as a hockey coach. And an accidental fall.
Yeah, nobody went out made a bad decision.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there was a consequence.
Like, this truly was an accident.
There were no bad decisions in this. It was just a very freakish accident.
Yeah. Wishing him the best. All right, coming up next, let's stay with the hockey theme, because is one NHL team on the right track? We get to that next year on The Lake Show. I wonder if one NHL team is on the right track. And that NHL team is the Utah Hockey Club. They are trying to come up with the name. Okay, they're trying to figure out what the mascot's going to be like. How are they going to go and proceed moving forward? They're trying to find something that's going to fit. Okay, so they had it down to six choices when we talk about the initial fan vote for the NHL's newest team. There was a trademark bid rejection, which involved Yeti.
Hmm.
Utah Yeti. First off, that sounds terrible. That sounds terrible. For a hockey team, Utah Yeti?
I mean, UY? Yeah, Utah Yeti.
That's ridiculous to me. Okay? So,
okay.
That should have been off the table the moment that it was brought. It shouldn't even have been a finalist.
Is it any worse than naming a snowplow? Anyway, go ahead.
So now they're down to three choices.
Okay.
Just having to be the Utah Hockey Club, which I kind of like that. Even when it was the Washington football team, yeah. I had no real issue with that. It was different. It was unique.
Here's a question I have about mascots and logos. Why it used to be that you would be awarded an expansion franchise. And you would go through everything. You would have your name. You would have your merchandising, your licenses. You would have everything before the team was even unveiled. Like, it's all part of this rollout. I think they were so quick to get out of Phoenix, and they relocated to Utah. And they're like, well, we can't be the Coyotes, so what are we going to be? It's kind of like, it used to be a whole process, like, we're going to slowly roll it out, and now it's like, we're going to locate the team, we're going to start playing, and then we'll figure out a mascot.
Let me ask you this. When we have teams where they're having difficulties coming up with that mascot name, do you think that they should proceed with their games without the mascot? Or do you think that they should get that dealt with her, because I actually think that they should get it done before they start playing.
I agree.
Like the Utah Hockey Club, it sounds cool to me because it's unique, but in all reality, they should get it. I like knowing the logo and the mascots, all that stuff ahead of time.
Yeah, because the minute that
Seattle Kraken.
Yeah, the minute that you know that you are going to leave an area.
Yeah.
You decide.
Yep.
Okay, this mascot, this logo is going to stay in that market. It's kind of like the Baltimore Ravens, who were the Cleveland Browns. They say the Cleveland Browns. Guess what? You didn't go to the Baltimore football team. Or even, I understand when Washington needed to do it from the Redskins to the football club. I also feel like part of this, though, is you have this short-term, and I'm thinking about it from the merchandising standpoint here, you have this opportunity, Utah Hockey Club, one-year merchandise, then it's going to go away, and then we're going to have a mascot, and guess what? Utah Hockey Club, this is going to be stuff that's going to be limited edition.
That makes no sense to me. Yeah, well, it's going out of style quickly.
Yes, that's the thing, though. That's what's going to make it unique, and I feel like that's really why they do it. Like, oh, we're gonna call it hockey club, football club, baseball club, whatever. It's like Cleveland when they went from the Indians, and then they decided they were Cleveland baseball for a very short period of time, and then they went to the Guardians. And then they had the whole roller derby. But anyway, I digress. That was just always something that I wanted to get your thoughts on on that, naming a team before they actually move to that market or they actually start
yeah,
playing.
Yeah, I would rather you, and you can weigh in too, 651-461-9226.
I understand why they do it. I just don't agree with it.
Now, I would rather you go ahead and you get the mascot stuff done. Like, just get it out the way.
What's a huge rollout? Dang.
Yeah. Get it done.
Exactly.
Get her done.
Get her done.
Get her done. Just get it out the way, because I think all that other stuff, it just becomes too complicated, man.
Yes, and then you don't know, like someone on the text line, Minnesota Frost, same deal. Yeah, Minnesota Professional Women's Hockey League. Minnesota, it's like,
yeah, we did deal with that.
If you're going to do it and stick with it. Like, don't, you know, don't change.
What happens to the old merch?
Oh, it becomes collector's items.
Oh, so it's increased its value?
Oh, absolutely.
You got some merch?
From the Utah Hockey Club?
No, I'm talking about from the
Minnesota.
Yeah.
WPHL. I don't think I have any PHL. No. Minnesota PHL. I don't have any PHL merchandise.
I need to get over to a game. I really do. I'm dead serious.
I wish more of those leagues would just... I hate that some of them are just so insecure with their funding that it's like a year-to-year thing. It's like, I want to see that league succeed.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see those women continue to have an opportunity to show their skills. But it's like, how long can something like that be sustainable if you don't have a major benefactor who's willing to back it? And I mean, corporate sponsorship only goes so far.
Yes.
And that's what sucks, because there are athletes that are more than deserving of their opportunity. But it comes and it goes. It's kind of reminds me of like the Arena Football League. Because when I was in Sioux Falls, I worked with the IFL, the Sioux Falls Storm.
Okay.
But these franchises, and I mean, you know this, Henry, they have these, they're in this league, but it's almost like a week to week. It's like, well, you don't know if you're going to play in Sioux City. You don't know if you're going to play in Omaha. You don't know if you can play in Bismarck, because you don't know if their team is going to be able to fund week to week. And it's just stuff like that makes me so sad, because you start to get invested in them and you start to see people do good. And then next thing you know, it's like, well, yeah, the franchise is going to be disbanding, or the league is going to be dissolving. And you're like, well, damn it. I've had a lot of good people have lost jobs in that. But I know you were talking about the mascot, so I kind of sidetracked.
Yeah, you really did.
I did. Go ahead and go back to it. I'll turn off my microphone.
No, we're done here. Coming up next, we'll take a look at the local weather. And, well, the Grammys were last night. And you know who I want to talk about. We get to that next year on The Lake Show.
Psst. I see dead people.
Oh, you guys know where I'm headed next. I tell you right now, Kendrick Lamar was one of the stars of the night last night for the Grammys for this specific song right here, Not Like Us, a big time record in the year 2024, and it was a diss track towards Drake, and it blew up, okay? Now, this is, there's a couple different things that I want to talk about here. First off, I want to say congratulations to Kendrick Lamar. I'm a big Kendrick Lamar fan. Massive Kendrick Lamar fan. He is what hip-hop should be about. It should be about creativity. It should be about talking about all the things that impact us in the world. It should also talk about street culture. It should talk about real life situations. It should also paint a picture. It should be all encompassing. It's art. It's an art form. Okay? But also have things to say on a positive note. Rappers shouldn't just be talking just about women and jewelry and sex and drugs and all this other stuff. It should be about all the things that encompass life. And he's great at that. I mean, this guy's got a Pulitzer Prize. This guy is a poet. He's everything, okay? And he truly defines hip-hop culture. So with all that being said, he was nominated for 5 Grammys. He won all 5. Clean sweep.
That's impressive.
That's impressive. Mm-hmm. Clean sweep. He won all 5. But to go to the next part about it, it's a diss track.
Yeah.
So in hip hop, we've always had diss tracks. We've always had individuals that didn't get along with each other. Okay? We had Tupac and Biggie. Unfortunately, we know how tragic that situation ended up being, with both men killed. We have a day and age right now where we have people that still don't get along with each other, but the way you go about it is you keep it on wax. You don't get involved in actual things that you do on a street level. It's about being creative and utilizing your God-given ability and your hard work into making hit records and lyrics. He took a diss and going at Drake and made it into the biggest diss track of all time and a global hit, which earned 5 Grammys. So the big thing I'm wondering about in this specific week, it's Super Bowl week. Kendrick Lamar is the headliner for the Super Bowl. Is he going to perform Not Like Us? Because the insinuation in the song is that Drake, real name Aubrey Graham, pop icon, pop star, rap star, likes younger women. Younger girls. There is, like, the word pedophile is used in the song. He is suing UMG and saying that they propped up this song. I've been defamed and all this other stuff, whatever. Will he perform it at the Super Bowl? People are split. They're like, he's got to perform it, right? Some people are like, well, do you want to bring the NFL into this? It's a big stage. Do you want... That's the question. That's the million-dollar question right now. Is he going to do this? Now, if you're asking me, did he defame Drake by kind of...
Insinuating
this? I guess the gloves were off because Drake insinuated some things about Kendrick Lamar that allegedly weren't true. And so the back and forth is... I don't want to say that the stuff about Kendrick isn't true and the stuff about Drake is, because we don't know, right?
Right.
But what we do know is that they do have Drake on video where there's a girl on stage with him and she's not of age and he's talking about how sexy she is and can I give you a kiss and all this other stuff. So you can believe what you want. We've seen that part, okay? We've seen that part. But all that aside, that's what I want to know. Is he going to do the song? I'm going to be watching every single second of the Super Bowl. I wonder about that.
This is going to shock you. I'm not exactly the demographic for Kendrick Lamar.
You don't like what you got against rap?
No, I.
You're a hater.
I loved the Fat Boys back in the day. You know, they were great.
Hater.
Yeah, I'm not hating. I loved Enoch Mosey. You know, here comes a hot stepper. You know, I mean, I can get jiggy with it, no question.
Getting jiggy with it.
But I didn't know much of. I knew it was a diss track, and when I sat down and I was putting the audio into the system,
mm-hmm.
and I was looking at the lyrics. It's the first time that I had a chance to really look at the lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, damn, this goes hard. It goes really, really hard. And I just don't know, like, what the next step is, like, after that, if there's an accelerated diss track, or, like, how did this even get started? Like, the whole Drake-Kendrick-Lamar thing.
They haven't liked each other for years.
Okay. All right. If you're asking about...
And then Drake was taunting him and talking about, you know... Well, I guess Kendrick made a diss track earlier last year, and then Drake was like, "Oh, you want this smoke?"
And then
okay, and Kendrick's kind of like, "Okay, whatever. I want the smoke because I called you out." And then Drake was taunting him and was talking real negative about him, and said something about Kendrick's family. That's what really got this thing to another level.
Okay,
you lead a man's family alone. Don't talk about his wife. Don't talk about his kids. Yeah. And then that's when Kendrick went with the kill shots.
So if he does perform this,
mm-hmm.
I mean, if it wins 5 Grammys,
you have to perform it.
That tells me that this is over. That tells me
now
that
what the, you talking about the
like
the
I mean,
beef?
How does?
Oh no! Definitively, Kendrick Lamar crushed Drake.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah.
We're
everybody
like,
knows.
There's no place like Drake. What can Drake come back with?
No, he can't. He can't. But that's not the point of this.
Right, but what
the point is, at this specific point, is he going to perform the song at the Super Bowl? It has nothing to do with Drake. Like,
right.
Drake can't do
right.
anything about
right.
that.
Right, I guess what I'm saying is that you've got something that won 5 Grammys. Where can Drake go from this? If this is the end of it, and you're coming upon the game coming up on Sunday...
Mm-hmm.
You have to perform it, but, you know, because...
Well, he doesn't have to.
He doesn't have to, but...
It feels like he would, though.
You've got the casual fan, but here's my question, and this is where it's all leading to. Do you change up some of the lyrics? Do you have the same beat? Do you have the same...
Well, no. You're not...
You have to go...
The beat is the beat.
Right, but you have to go straight at Drake with this.
If he's performing, the clean version.
Okay.
Like, you can't change lyrics. Like, the entire world is singing along with you.
I'm just very... Yeah,
that's not how this works, Chris.
I know. I'm trying to figure out how you do this, but for the casual fan, you don't make it so... Because it's a diss track and it's personal, but how do you take that and kind of make it mainstream to the casual fan that doesn't really know? If they hear these lyrics, they're going to be like, okay, I don't know if I really like this.
If you're a casual fan and you've heard the song, you know what the song's about.
But if you're casual,
this is not a random thing. This is the song of the year.
But if you're hearing it for the first time,
no,
you're going to have people that are going to watch that Super Bowl halftime show that are going to be hearing this for the first time.
Chris, this is the song of the year. Most people have heard the song before.
You would be surprised. There are a lot of people out there.
I'm not saying everybody in the world, but if you are in tune with sports at all and pop culture, at least with pop culture, I'm not saying that everybody's heard the song. Mm. You've heard of the song, or you've heard about the beef. You've heard that this particular story between these two guys going back and forth is one of the top 10 news items of the year.
And what I'm saying is there are people out there that will look at this and be like, I have no idea who this guy is. I have no idea who this is.
Yeah, that's fine.
I don't know what this song is about. All I know is it's got, you know, talking about pedophiles and young girls, and they're going to hear that,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to be like, this isn't my guy. I understand where you're saying most people.
Yeah, but out of every 10 people that are watching the Super Bowl, how many of the 10 you think are going to be, oh, this isn't my guy because I'm hearing this for the first time? One.
No, there'll be more than that. I think you're thinking like 3 to 4 out of 10. I don't think the casual fan.
40% of people that listen to music or that are sports or whatever, 40% have not heard of Kendrick Lamar or this song or know anything about this. I totally disagree.
I would say 30 to 40.
Absolutely not.
Because I could guarantee there are a lot of people that I'm related to that would have no idea about this that are going to be watching the Super Bowl. I'm sorry, watching the game as casual fans that would have no idea. And I mean, I think you're talking very, very casual football fans that are going to be hearing it for the first time. And I think that that number is going to be greatly. I think it's bigger than what you think.
Could be. I don't think it's 40%, though.
Oh, I think there are a lot of people out there that are just not familiar with this because this isn't information that they take in. It's not information that they're comfortable with.
I think that those people are not watching the Super Bowl in general.
They're watching the game, but once they get to the halftime show,
they might not watch
the They're not going to watch the halftime show. They'll look in and they'll be like, I don't like this. They might not listen. They might not, but they're going to look at it and they're going to be like, I don't like this.
Yeah, but they're going to say, I don't like it because it's not what they're into. Mm. There's not.
Exactly.
But no. They're not listening to the words. Mm. They're not like putting their ear to the wall like, oh, I heard him say a word. That's not how any of this is going to work.
But if there's the same thing, though, they're not going to be listening intently, but if they hear one word, they're going to be like, I'm done. This is awful. They're going to hear one word. They're not going to be listening intently. The Kendrick Lamar fans are going to be listening intently. They're going to be, you know, people like, you're going to be watching it. You're going to be looking forward to it. I think the casual fan, again, I'm going by people that I am related to, that I know how they, I know how they look at this, and they're like, that's not my thing. You hear one thing, you're like, nope. That's
text line, same person texting about the Frost. Yeah, I know sports. I do not know Kendrick Lamar, so there. That's one. That's your one.
Are we related?
You could be.
Maybe.
Final segment of the Lake
Related?
Show coming up next. Oh, man. Just on the scroll right now on ESPN, Canelo Crawford finalizing Vegas fight. Let's go! Let's go!
Well, we know...
Hey, text line, do you know who Crawford or Canelo is? Terrence Crawford? What you think?
It should be good.
Oh, man.
Should be good.
Let's go. Terrence Crawford, baby.
Then you just got back. You're going to have to go back.
I don't think I could go to that fight, though.
No?
Oh, price range. Yeah. Going to be ridiculous. That, to get in the building that night, yeah, that's a pretty penny to get.
Get a media pass. That's how we used to get around it.
I went media this time. I had a seat. I did media this time this past weekend, but that's.
See, you're too upstanding to try and.
No. It's not that. It's just every media member in the world is going to be trying to get in.
Yeah, that's going to be a hot ticket.
Yeah, I'm not. Like, there's levels to this. You know, Howard Cosell has been dead, what, how many years? He can get on the, he can get a credential before I can, and I'm alive. Seriously.
This is Howard Cosell. I'm here at the Canelo-Terrence Crawford fight.
That is going to be, woof.
That's
going to
be crazy. You feel like it's, I still feel like boxing needs a little bit of a shot in the arm.
Boxing's back. And the reason why boxing is back is because of stuff like that. What they found out in the last year is that UFC had taken all their momentum,
yeah,
and their shine, and they said, you know what we have to do? We have to actually start making fights. We actually have to start putting people together,
yes,
in their primes, not at the end of their careers. We got to start putting together good matchups. Because that's going to get people back into sport. And that's what's happening right now.
And you can have great fighters that work their way up. You know, you can go the Mike Tyson punch out. You can go through, you know, Glass Joe and every, you know, King Hippo. And you can do all of that. But if, you're right. At the end of the day, sometimes you have to force these matchups. Because it is, you know, they say you got to give the people what they want. And as much as I don't like Dana White as a person, because I think he's terrible, awful, disgusting wife beater, but be that as it may, one thing that they've always done is they have, going back to the Hoist Gracie days, the Ken Shamrock, Dan Severn, You put those guys together and you build these rivalries. And see, because even to me, I looked up, I'm like, oh, damn. Okay, yeah, Terrence Crawford, you know, Canelo. I mean, I remember getting excited for Canelo Triple G. Like, there are certain fights out there that I feel can really help. And I don't know, man. I don't even know the last
make
time.
Make good
I,
fights. If you make good yeah, fights, everything will be fine.
Watch.
People will watch, man.
And take advantage. Like, UFC, I know, they've still got their audience. I don't know the last time that I've gone out of my way to order a UFC fight.
Yeah, the last two cards have been weak.
I mean, it has been. And that's exactly it. You capitalize because UFC is going to figure it out. UFC and WWE, both owned by TKO and Endeavor. And, I mean, there's a multi-billion-dollar company there, and there's a huge conglomerate. So they now have all of the resources that they want. UFC is eventually going to get their poop in a group, but here's a chance for I feel like boxing.
I think they're fine.
Well, they're
UFC's not doing bad.
No, they're not doing bad. But I don't hear these big time fight. You know, I don't hear the Usman, the John Jones. I don't.
Well, John Jones has fought last month.
Well, I'm saying I don't hear it consistently where you have these marquee matchups. If you can just generate a little bit of a buzz, you might not get your entire audience back, but at least you can kind of fragment that.
Yeah, I think the UFC's fine. There's a lot of fighters. They got to find new superstars, though, because John Jones is towards the end. Mm-hmm. Daniel Cormier is on ESPN.
Yeah, he's done.
Conor McGregor, we don't want the rapist back in the ring, so we're done with him. And by the way, he, like, spit on somebody in Vegas this weekend. Did you hear about that?
No, but it doesn't surprise me. Did he throw a chair through a bus window?
I can't stand that dude. I cannot stand Conor McGregor. He just comes across as not a good human being.
The best thing about Conor McGregor is the meme or the gif.
Of him throwing the football?
Gif or gif. No, where he's like, who the fuck is this guy? That's okay. That's the best thing about Conor McGregor. I didn't even think the whiskey. But they dropped him. They dropped him too.
That's your, was it proper something?
Proper. Proper seven?
Proper seven.
Yeah. Well, it's not proper anymore. More like improper.
Oh. Am I out in like 10 seconds? I'm out in like five. Yeah. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow, 6 p.m. We'll talk NBA trade deadline. Sean Cunningham joins us tomorrow.